This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast this day and start of a whole new week and lots of great things in store that are coming up. I want to tell you real quickly that some of you guys have already taken advantage of downloading the Vintage Truth app on your phone. This app that is in its infancy right now, we're just beginning to upload different things to it. And there's going to be many, many more things to come, but I wanted you to have it on your phone already. Anyway, I posted on Instagram, that the first five people to set a screenshot on, send me a screenshot or post it on their Instagram and tag me in it will receive a free audio download of my new book, Aftershocks. And some people have already taken advantage of that, but there's still some to give away. So go on Instagram and either post or message to me or tag me that you have downloaded and show me a screenshot of that. And I'll send you a link to where you can download a free Audible version of Aftershocks. And you can have that that Audible version. Some people prefer the Audible to reading just because they're on the go, they're in their car or whatever. And so this will be a great opportunity for you to get that. So do that. And also just download the app, regardless whether or not you get a book, the Vintage Truth app. Just type in Vintage Truth in your app store and or my name, and that should come up. And like I said, I'm going to be giving you lots more opportunity to receive some cool things there on the app as well. And okay, so great things are going on. I am in the midst right now of really writing two books and co-writing a book and doing some significant revisions to another book. And so all that to say is my life has been a circus and it's been one nonstop whirlwind. It's going to be like that basically until the middle of June, actually till almost the end of June. But anyway, that's life and it's good to be busy. And several of you have contacted me regarding having me come to speak at your church, and we can definitely make that happen. All you need to do is just introduce me to your pastor some way through a book or through my website, jeffkinley.com or whatever, and have your pastor contact me. And, you know, sometimes I get it. You know, pastor's like, who is this guy? Is he going to come tell my people Jesus is coming back tomorrow or whatever? I want your pastor to know who I am. Sometimes just knowing where I come from, my seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, or the books that I've written or whatever, kind of gives me kind of builds the intro credibility. But other times, you know, they just need to hear from me and, you know, receive a bio and just kind of see what I'm all about. But all that to say is we can definitely work something out. Just tell your pastor about me. And I would love to talk to him about coming and doing a Discerning the Times conference or Discerning the Times day, whatever it takes, at his church. And we can, work on that together. So thank you, those of you who have contacted me, and I just want you to know that I am available to do that. My schedule is pretty packed, as I said, right now, but we could definitely start scheduling things for the late summer and fall as well. Now, in this series that I'm doing on Aftershocks, let me ask you a question to begin with. How has your life been impacted by this whole thing in the past 12 months? You do realize that the COVID thing was just that was just the Trojan horse to get in all these other things that government and Satan has wanted to try to do to people. And I don't know how your life has been impacted, but it greatly hindered my life, and it has greatly hindered my life and restricted my freedoms, many times my ability to breathe in public, those type of things. But not only just beyond the mask thing, now they're just taking it a step further. You notice how it's incremental. You know, there first it was the just social distance, then it was masks for 2 weeks, and then it was, you know, oh, we're going to have to do this other thing. Now it's vaccine. They're holding vaccine concerts to tell people to get vaccinated. People are posting. People have little patches on them saying, I've been vaccinated. That's interesting. And they're very proud of the fact that they've been vaccinated. And as I've said before, that is a personal decision that you make on your own, whether you do or whether you don't. I don't care. It's a completely individual decision based on your conscience and based on the research that hopefully that you have done about these vaccines, which by anyone's estimation are at best experimental, and we are the lab rats. So I said it. All that to say, not saying you're going to die if you take the vaccine, not saying you're going to grow an extra arm or anything like that, or you're going to get blood clots like they did with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, or that you're going to have some sort of repercussions for reproduction and things like that. But I am saying that you need to do the research. And if you decide to take the vaccine, that's totally cool. It's up to you. And so we definitely do not want to set a division in the body of Christ over the vaccine thing. But here's the thing. When the government, which Biden administration has said we're not going to require it, but when government heavily promotes, and businesses and industries take the cue from that, what that practically means for you and me is that you are not going to be able to do certain things unless you take the vaccine. Now, there's also people that are beginning to file lawsuits about this, because preliminary lawsuits, because they believe it's a crime against humanity to force someone to take an experimental vaccine. Hello, Nazi Germany. And so I don't know where all this is going to end up. I have no idea. I can't predict that. But I will say this, is that that's just one issue of what's going on. It's just one thing that I talk about in aftershocks. There are many other repercussions, aftershocks, ripple effects from this giant seismic event that we went through last year. These things are not going away, okay? They've had a taste for what it feels like to have a sense of control over the population, and the government's not going to back off, especially this particular socialist government that the Biden administration is such a part of. So anyway, all that to say is that you need to be discerning. You do not need to be paranoid or conspiratorial. You don't need to freak out and, get in your basement, wear a tin hat and that kind of thing. Don't do that. But at the same time, you need to know what's going on. And I'm reminded of that scene in the movie Taken, which the first Taken movie was just unbelievable. And Liam Neeson does such a great job in that movie of playing the CIA dad, and his college-age daughter goes to Paris. You know the story. And while she's there, these people break into her apartment, and they're there, and they take her roommate, and then he tells her to go hide under the bed. I couldn't go into all this dialogue in the book because of copyrights, but I'll just tell you what happens. Spoiler alert. She goes under the bed. She's hiding under the bed, and she's talking on the phone with her dad while the guys are rummaging through the apartment looking for her. And her dad says to her, her name is Kim. He says, "Kim, now that what I'm about to tell you next is very, very important that you listen to me." And then he pauses and he goes, "They're going to take you." And at that moment, all of a sudden, her ankles get grabbed and she gets jerked out under the bed, and they kidnap her. Well, as a dad, you really wish you could give your daughter better news, when she's already going through peril. But he had to tell her the truth. He had to tell her exactly what was going to happen so that she would know about it, and so that he could use some of the information she screamed out as she's being dragged away, so that he could begin to track down these kidnappers. Now, let me apply that here. So when we talk about Bible prophecy, we talk about what's going on in the world today. And let me tell you something. There are so many great things that are happening in the world today through people and through God's people. And there's so much to be thankful for. There's so many positive things. The world hasn't been completely ruined, and you still go to a kid's soccer game and still have fun, still take a vacation, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying that at all. But I am telling you this, from Scripture, things are going to get progressively worse. And if I were some sort of false prophet or prosperity gospel preacher, I'd just tell you everything's going to be great. You just speak it into existence. You just declare it, and God will make it happen for you. That ain't how it works. Jesus told us that if the world hated him, in John 15, that they're going to hate us too. Because the more we are identified with Jesus, the more the world is going to get angry at us because of the beliefs that we have, because of the morals that we promote, because of the things that we stand against, even the little things like marriage between a man and a woman, just basic things, they're going to hate you for it. They're just going to hate you for it. And you have to be okay with it. You just have to know that the world's not going to be your friend. Now, not everybody in the world. Some people just tolerate you because of your beliefs, but on the whole, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. And what did they do to Christ, the nicest guy who ever lived? So here's the thing. We need to know that that's going to happen. And knowing that that's going to happen helps prepare us to face the future. So let me give you a couple things in the book that are really encouraging. And this, by the way, this is going to be my last little installation here in this little Aftershock series. But I really want you to help me spread the word about the book. I tell the story, the true story, in this chapter called Be Still and Know That I'm God. And the reason I did that is because your life and my life has been upended, and we're still sifting through the rubble, and we're still trying to get a life back to normal, whatever that ultimately might mean. And in the meantime, we need to know something about God. And we need to know that as things will likely get worse on many different fronts in the world, because we're going to get progressively more evil in the world, which means that Christianity is going to be progressively more marginalized, which means it's going to be harder for you to be in this society as a believer, although you should stay in the society and keep penetrating society and keep being light and salt there, because that's where God wants you. But it's still going to be tough. I mean, think of the early Christians when they walked outside and went to the market to shop for fruit or whatever, or grain. And people identify them as a Christian. You're the only ones not doing what we're all doing. You're the only ones not bowing to Caesar. And they were maligned for that. Are you okay with that, by the way? Are you okay with your reputation being ridiculed? Your person, your very person, being made fun of? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with people telling you that you're a moron or a bigot or a racist, or that you're just you're just anti everything? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with swimming upstream? Do you realize that you and I, we live in a world that is not our home? This is hostile territory. This is not Pleasantville, okay? And because of that, yes, we need to continue to share love with people, but also continue to live the truth. Now, when we're going through those kinds of things, what do we need to know about God? Well, there's a story in the Old Testament, and it's actually the background story of a psalm. It's Psalm 46, and I bet you anything that you have read this psalm before, and you have taken great comfort in this psalm, but you may or may not know the background that kind of frames this particular psalm. So I want to just read a couple of verses to you, and then give you a little bit of the background of this particular psalm here, okay? Psalm 46. And it begins this way. It says, by the way, it says, to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. So the sons of Korah who wrote this begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble or time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And basically, you know, it goes on to talk about how God can do things that nobody else can do. But I want you to watch here that he says in the first, they say in the first couple of verses, even if the earth itself starts to move, even if there's this seismic shift in the whole earth, the very foundation, the thing that we put our feet on every day, even if that's the last vestige of stability that we have, by the way, is the earth. Okay? If the earth cracks open, we're all doomed, right? But it says, even if the earth, even if the mountains start crumbling into the sea, and its waters roar and foam. That means, what if a tsunami comes after that and the mountains tremble? If the whole world is shaking, which is basically what's happened this past year and what continues to be happening, if that's true, if that even happens, it says God is still our refuge from that. He's our strength in that. He is our very present help in time of trouble. And that's why we will not fear. Now, let me give you the background here real quickly. Psalm 46 was written during the reign of King Hezekiah, okay? About 701 BC, 700 years before Christ was born. The king of Assyria, a guy by the name of Sennacherib, was preparing to lay siege to Jerusalem. He was going to come conquer Jerusalem, which was the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah. Northern kingdom had already been taken away captive, okay? So King Hezekiah sends a tribute to Sennacherib, equivalent of about $79 million. He sends silver and gold to him to basically try to pay him off. And the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, says, no thanks. So he says, you're still going to die. So Hezekiah starts seeking God in prayer. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, in verse 16, God says to Hezekiah, do not be afraid because of the words you've heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. He says, don't worry. He says, I will be sovereign over their futile Syrian gods. And he says, all the kingdoms of the earth will know, Hezekiah says, that you alone are God. Now, what ends up happening is they're about to be sieged and destroyed and killed. And in that moment, the sons of Korah write this song. That's when they said, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. And that word refuge means shelter from danger. It means God's going to hide us. He's going to take care of us. It means that it says he's a very present help. That means that God's provision is sufficient for any situation that we might face. I mean, think about it. Can you picture something more alarming, more dreadful than the mountains collapsing into the sea? Even if all that were to happen, just picture your worst case scenario. Cancer, death of a loved one, losing your job, something happening to someone that you love. How about a relationship that's going sour? How about your emotions all of a sudden being topsy-turvy? You can't understand how to handle your emotions anymore. And you know what? God says, even if all those things happen, I'm still your refuge. I'm still your strength. I can still help you. And how does he help us? He helps us by centering us, by being the stable influence in our lives. And watch this now. While everything around us is shaking, we're not. The ground beneath our feet is calm. It's stable. It's rock solid. Why? Because we don't look at the world to determine how we feel emotionally. We don't look to other people and how they act or how they act towards us as our cue to know how we should feel about us and about life and about our future and about our peace and our tranquility and about freedom from anxiety. That's not where we get this stuff. We get it from the person of God. And I realize that when things are still shaking around you, how do you have that peace? Well, how did the sons of Korah have that peace? When they're literally looking out and seeing the Assyrian army approaching the gates and camped around Jerusalem, what are they supposed to do? God says, look to me. Be still. Those words, be still, just means stop trying so hard. Cease striving and acknowledge something. Believe something. What, God? What do you want me to believe? God says, know that I am God. Know that I am God. You want to spend some time in prayer today? Thinking about something that's going to absolutely ground you, get your root system deep? Think about the concept that He is God. And He is for you. So if God's got you, as Romans 8 says, who in the world can possibly be against you? Psalm 46, check it out.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.